This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca on this not quite warm Saturday morning. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. Now, same-sex marriage, of course, has been in the news quite a bit over the last few years, and it's an issue that's very, very important to our community. I have on the phone now Michael Danby, the federal member for Melbourne Ports, and Michael and I have been talking about this issue for a while, and I thought today we'd get him onto Saturday Magazine to have a discussion about the issue. And there is a proposal by the Greens to table a bill on June 6th. Don't know whether that's going to happen or not, but it is, of course, about same-sex marriage. Good morning, Michael.
Morning, David. How are you?
Good. How's your day going?
It's pretty much like yours. It's pretty cold. I wish we hadn't got back to winter already, but anyhow.
I know. It hasn't even officially started yet. Now, same-sex marriage, Michael, you've had I suppose it's fair to say, a personal position that you haven't opposed this, but in terms of as a voting member in the parliament, that that hasn't always been your position, has it?
Look, I abstained during the last vote. The difference between the Labor Party and the Conservatives is that we have a conscience vote. My assessment was it wasn't going to get through. The traditional thing, David, is that if conservative parties such as David Cameron's or David Key's in New Zealand give their people a conscience vote, it enables all people in national parliaments to secure a majority to get it through. Now, I have a long interest and support for non-discrimination, and always seconded Anthony Albanese's resolutions through the long years of opposition on non-discrimination against the gay and lesbian community over Commonwealth legislation. But as I've said previously, I think this issue that same-sex marriage is coming, provided it doesn't interfere with and all of the various bills that have been presented don't interfere with the practice of various religions. They're free to continue with their rituals, but the state should be able to, undertake marriage between all people who are citizens of that state.
Because I recall you said, and the bills that were introduced under Kevin Rudd, and you supported them very strongly, which removed a lot of, probably 95% of the discrimination as our community see it back then, and you supported that very strongly. Now, so your position is that you support same-sex marriage on the basis that, if I could phrase it this way, that a religious organisation, whether it be Christian, Islamic, Jewish, whatever, is not compelled to marry same-sex couples. And are you prepared, if there was a vote in the parliament, are you prepared to vote that way?
Look, yes. I'm not sure that there will be a vote this time. I'm being honest with you this time. But I think the thing that's changed is so many of the Conservative members, whether it's that 23-year-old Wyatt Roy yesterday announcing to Tony Abbott that he will support same-sex marriage, it means that it's the Conservatives are more getting close to having a conscience vote on that. I didn't realise, David, that Michael Kroger pointed this out last night on Late Line, that the Conservatives, the Coalition, were pledged not to support same-sex marriage at the last election. So he says that Abbott is not going to allow another vote on this or to allow a conscience vote. But if it comes up next time, it's very much closer and my vote might actually make a difference. So I'll be supporting it with the caveats that you explained before.
Okay, so let's... I'm really pleased about this, Michael, and that you're actually announcing it on Joy, that the situation...
with an old mate, too, you know, it's always...
it's always a bit easier,
well,
I suppose.
Well, you know, look, you and I have talked through the years and sort of... I think, you know, I regard you as a serious person and you know how I sort of go through issues and examine them. And you know, it's this is a different moment and a moment when it actually might make a difference.
Well, so we now have, you know, we've got the position, and this is fantastic that your private position, you're now saying that you'll commit to that in the Parliament, that should a bill come up that, provided it excludes the requirement for or doesn't penalise religions that choose not to conduct these ceremonies, but that, assuming that you will vote for same-sex marriage.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And, you know, there's no trick in the caveats either, too, because nearly all of the bills, whether they're from the Greens or from anyone else, from Stephen Jones, our capable member for Wollongong, all of them had that exclusion of Orthodox religion. So that's what I've decided to do. I think, like a lot of people, I was very annoyed with the prejudiced comments of Mr. Wallace from the Christian lobby about the children of same-sex couples, and I must say I shared Penny Wong's frustration and anger with those denigratory comments. There's no evidence that I've ever seen of there being any lack of love or trust or upbringing of children who've been brought up by either a lesbian or a gay couple.
I mean, they're pretty outrageous comments, and you know, it always amazes me that Jim Wallace, who you know had a fine military career and was a great leader of the military, is using what there is of his intellect and you know his influence to spread such bile, but also such nonsense. It's quite disturbing, isn't it?
Well, it is, and there are lots of people like you and me who are counter-suggestible, so. When you see or hear such comments, you think, well, I'm not sure it was a tipping point for me, but I can tell you it really annoyed me. So, you know, these kinds of prejudices have all different effects. You know, there are some people who prejudice causes people to fear, other people causes them to sort of decide to stand up to it.
It does. And I know you've been having a lot of discussions, you know, with friends, with family, with colleagues. You know, certainly I've been speaking to you about it, as I know a lot of other people have. So I think it's fantastic you've reached this position. I think it's you know, this is an issue. I've always said equal means equal. And, you know, I congratulate you on stepping up to the plate on this. I think it's really important. It does put pressure on other members. You know, you have a high profile in the Parliament, you're a parliamentary secretary. So, yeah, I thank you for that. I think it's fantastic.
Well, thanks, David. I mean, I really have had a long-held, you know, opposition to discrimination against people in the GLBTI community. And this thing we'll get passed as soon as we've got a conscience vote. I don't want to... force, you know, committed Christians on either side to sort of vote one way or the other. But if there's a conscience vote, it's clear to me now that a sufficient number of Liberals will vote in favour of it for all of the Labor votes to actually count.
If I can ask, Michael, in terms of your electorate, you have a very, very diverse electorate. I always think of your electorate, it's almost like it's six electorates, isn't it? There's very, very strong pockets or very, very strong communities in that electorate. Obviously, not everyone is going to agree with you on this. How do you think it's going to be received?
Look, I think the majority of people, it's almost a generational thing. I think as the years go by, it's accepted more and more by people. There'll be pockets of people who haven't adjusted to this yet, but I mean there are they were unhappy with this thing being discussed. Then it was put off this time. Let's see what happens with the bill when it comes up next time. The question is that it's coming, and when you see the United Kingdom supporting it and other countries, it's you'd have to regard it as inevitable here.
It is. Well, look, I congratulate you for making the decision, and I thank you for announcing it on Saturday Magazine on Joy.
Yep.
I'm sure other media will be a bit interested in this. Just bear with us, listeners. We're going to go to a break. Then when we come back, I've actually got a couple of other quick questions for Michael. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca. We're speaking with Michael Danby, the Federal MP for Melbourne Ports, who just advised us and just announced that he will support a bill for same-sex marriage when it's introduced into the federal parliament, with the proviso that it does not require religious organisations to marry same-sex couples should they not wish to do so. Fantastic, Michael. Now, look, there's a couple of other things that I really wanted to touch with you on quickly. In Australia, and look at, you know, I see on the front page of The Age today that, you know, there's a picture of a caravan on a block of land, which apparently the Prime Minister and Tim Matheson, you know, have bought, but This is personality politics. I wonder why does the media, or why do people care so much about politicians' private lives? And, you know, is this detrimental to our political culture? Because, sure, people's private lives inform their public lives, but do we have a right to know exactly and everything that goes on in people's private lives, particularly politicians?
It gets a bit awful, doesn't it? I think it's that there are more and more trend towards regarding politics and show business as sort of everyone, all of their private details have to be gone through. A lot of this was also, I remember, fed by the Murdoch organisation in the UK's ability to actually intercept telephone calls, which have now been dealt with by the Leveson inquiry. And of course the issue of privacy is something we've got to balance very strongly with the public's right to know. I mean, transparency can go too far when it doesn't affect the lives of people. I'll give you an example. the comments, the sexist comments of Mr. Slipper in conversation with his advisor before he became speaker were used to basically turf him out as speaker. But then, well, we've had a judgment from His Honour Mr. Justice Rares saying that the case brought against Slipper was an abusive process. So here we have had someone sort of tried, expelled from his job, etc., based on a private intercepted telephone conversation. Which the judge has said was part of an abusive process. There wasn't discrimination. And the guy's lost his job, lost his life, and I can tell you, as someone who has developed a sort of an unlikely friendship with him, sort of caused him severe stress to the point of really affecting his health and mental well-being.
I mean, it's pretty, yeah, and you know, the whole, you know, the whole Peter Slipper thing, I mean, look, it's before the courts for the moment, so I want to steer away from it, but it's a good example, isn't it? I mean, it's got to the point, Michael, where, you know, anyone that is a public figure is going to actually be reluctant to have any email or text communication or telephone communication with anyone. It's almost like before you have a conversation with anyone now, you know, shades of get smart, you want the zone of the cone of silence to come down, don't you? Because you can't guarantee that your conversation is not going to be recorded or intercepted or hacked.
Well, that's right, David. And one of the things that's really alarming, and I'm not going to the particulars of the slipper case, is that text messages, not even germane to the period of employment between an employee and a staff member, are now usable in court cases. So, like, everywhere, have you... I mean, all of us have sent, you know, nasty texts or emails that, you know, when we were sort of annoyed about something. Hey, guys and gals out there, you better be careful because it can be used in the court case as an official communication.
I think you've had a few from me over the years, haven't you? I'm not so sure.
Some of them have been funny too.
Yeah. Hopefully most of them, but some of them not always ideal. It is hard, isn't it, to keep the private life separate from the public, because you've got to have, you've got to, in effect, compartmentalise that private life to keep, dare I say, to keep your sanity, to keep your balance. That's, you know, it's our family and our friends that support us in that private life that enable us to carry out that public life.
You've got to have the sort of private space in order to have the ability to continue sort of the you know, hard duty of public life. If you don't have that space, if that space is taken away from people, then very few people will want to move into the public space where you can legitimately be criticised in very harsh terms because you don't have any, you know, little corner where you can retreat to and have a respite.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca. I'm speaking with Michael Danby, the federal member for Melbourne Ports.
And the Parliamentary Secretary for the Arts, David.
Parliamentary Secretary for the Arts.
I got the gig at last.
Now, if I might ask, Michael, is your mother still with us?
No, she passed away a long time.
But she would be extremely proud of you, wouldn't you? Because your mother had an art gallery, didn't she?
She had an art gallery where, when I think back on it, I was a 14-year-old who was paid with lunches up at Pellegrini's in the early 1970s. That's how it wasn't fair work then.
No.
We had Kamal, Paul Eddington, and all of the great actors who sort of went down to Her Majesty's. We were three shops up, open exhibitions. When I look back on it, I sort of learned obviously a lot about the visual arts and painting in Australia, but also a lot about acting, and I met some great Australian painters and great Australian actors, and great overseas actors too.
Well, she'd be very, very proud of you, and I think it's great to see. I know that you know, you've had a desire to you know, to step up there, and I at the time, as I said, you know, when I contacted you, I thought it was a great appointment, and I look forward to the work you're doing there.
Well, I just encourage everyone who's listening to Joy to come and see the exhibition at the NGV. I signed my first cheque on behalf of the Commonwealth for $175,000 for its insurance, and we have stuff that comes from overseas here to Australia that you will never see in many countries overseas, because Australian government stands behind these big international exhibitions. And the Monet exhibition is absolutely beautiful, David.
It is. Now, it wasn't a big cheque, though, was it, Michael? You didn't do the big cheque thing, did you?
No, I didn't. Oh, I just signed the departmental piece of paper and actually put my little pen on the actual real cheque.
Your moniker on it. Fantastic. You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Michael Danby, the federal member for Melbourne Ports. Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll finalise with Michael. Hope you're enjoying the show. You're on Saturday Magazine.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Michael Danby, federal member for Melbourne Ports. And just as we close up here, Michael, I wanted... free speech is very, very important, and there's been a bit of discussion of late. Some people would like to privatise the ABC and SBS, as well as combine them. Now, Mike Abeed is a very, very good friend of mine. He's the CEO of SBS. And I'm probably going to ask him about this at some point, what his view is. But privatising the ABC and SBS, this would be, in my opinion, a severe erosion of free speech, wouldn't it?
I think it would. Already we have 70% of the print media owned by one company, the Murdoch Papers. Fairfax are pretty much on a rocky economic road at the moment. Who now knows how long The Age will continue to be published. A lot of the war between the government and the Murdoch Press has been precisely about whether Channel 10 could be owned by the Murdochs at the same time as they had 70% of the print press. And you've got to remember how angry they were with Stephen Conroy for refusing to sell Asia TV, that's the Australian Overseas Network, to Sky News, which is also a Murdoch company. So, you know, saying privatising the ABC or the SBS, look, you know, as long as they're free and fair, those stations, and they are, the ABC used to be very left-wing. I just find it so ironic that now it's much, much more balanced this last couple of decades, or this last decade in particular, that Barry Cassidy and The Insiders, which was the first program to introduce sort of, you know, your Andrew Bolts and Piers Ackermans as guests, they're the ones who are being criticised as left-wing programs. I mean, these people sort of want to create a world where only the sort of the zealots of the Institute of Public Affairs are presented as talking heads on TV.
Oh, look, poor old comrade Tim Wilson, he'd be very upset about that, to be called a zealot, I think.
Well, they are. They're blinded ideologues who, you know, the sort of pretty faces that they put on TV. Unfortunately, Sky and the ABC don't give them enough competition, but I tell you what, they really deserve it. And to have them running or selling off either the ABC or SBS is something that the public should resist. It's amazing we have two really successful government-funded networks. Both the ABC and SBS have substantial audiences. The SBS thing in particular, I agree with you, Mr. Abid, you know, has all of those, all of that broadcasting going, and it's very, very inexpensive, dollar for dollar.
It is, isn't it? And I mean, he's he's been on the program a number of times, and you know, he's a great advocate for free speech and what they do at SBS. Look, I think, yeah, I agree with you. Privatising the ABC and SBS would be a mistake, and that the balance is important, but the right for opposing views to be heard is so important, you know, and that, as you said, that The Insiders has actually provided a platform for a lot of different views, and some of them quite diametrically opposed. You don't often see on Andrew Bolt's show, you don't often see any old left-wing tragics on there, do you?
No. I mean, he had Albo on the other day, but boy, that was different from his normal program, because Albo gave it back to him both barrels. But it was very that was actually quite amusing to see. It would actually be good for Andrew's ratings to have more people who disagreed with him rather than sort of has-beens like Michael Costa as an excuse for sort of saying you've had someone from the Labor side on. But, you know, I'll just go back to The Insiders. I mean, Cassidy's program has Piers Ackermans on it. It has that Michael Stutchbury, who was the former, he's the current editor of the Financial Review, a newspaper that's to the right of The Australian. Yeah. I mean, fair shake of the sauce bottle, to quote the man from Queensland.
Oh, please.
they have introduced to Australia a lot of these journalists and their opinions. And, you know, frankly, the person I like the most that's come out of all of that is that guy George Megalogenis,
yes,
who is not a right or a left ideologue, who just has a whole lot of really interesting ideas, and I think he's become a sort of star of that Insiders program.
He has. Well, look, Michael, thank you so much for your time this morning. I know we were hoping to have you in the studio, but you very graciously agreed to let us pre-record this. So once again, I just want to close off with thanking you and commending you for your support, what you've said, and you've said it on Joy First, that when a bill is presented into the federal parliament for, you know, to provide for same-sex marriage, you will vote for that on the proviso that it doesn't require religious organisations to marry couples of the same sex. I think that is fantastic. I congratulate you on it. I know it's been a work in progress. A lot of us have been talking to you about it, and I know you've been consulting widely, so thank you so much for coming to the right decision.
All right, well, I want to thank you and Taz and Greg Atkins and Comrade Foley and a few other people too for the journey.
It's a journey is always interesting. Thank you. Thank you so much. Enjoy your time this morning, and thank you very, very much for your time, and once again, thank you.
Thanks, David. Bye.
Cheers. That was Michael Danby, federal member for Melbourne Ports, announcing first on Joy that he will support a bill for same-sex marriage. Saturday Mag, first with the best.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.